Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm so excited today. I don't even know why. Praise the Lord. I don't understand why, but I am. Amen. Glory to God. And I remember a time so many years ago when I was not, I'd probably been born again like 2 or 3 years. I went and read a book by a man, and what he was teaching at the time, and it is so, you know, at the time it was such revolutionary thing, but now there's nothing, you know, new about it. We've heard it over and over again. But man, it really, really transformed my life, because he was teaching about the practice of the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God. And now, you know, we're coming from a time where you have all these night prayers. Actually, you used to have night prayer Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so you pray. Then there was the religious, you know, aspect to it. We know that there are segments where God is involved, and other segments it's me time. So like God is supposed to be somewhere. Then, this man, he was talking about how he learned how to practice the presence of God by just consciously keeping in his mind that the Spirit of God is sitting next to him every other time. So when you talk to him, he would have this picture in his mind as if he said when he was in his car, he would have this picture like there's somebody sitting on the passenger seat. So he's talking to him as if he's there. And he's there. But the difference is, you actually see him there. You understand? And you practice that thing of speaking to him and he's there. And he says, when he did that for some time, he became so conscious of the presence of God that it was something like all the time you have this thing that the Spirit of God is walking right beside me, and I can speak to him anytime and he can speak to me anytime. Then I read another book by another guy who actually fell on some hard times, because I think he took his things, he didn't understand spiritual things. And sometimes, you know, the Lord protects us from things, because I think that's the guy who went and he used to teach about prayer. He wrote a book about prayer without ceasing, about unending prayer. And you know, when you're young and like have all the time in the world, you don't have a job, so everything you read, you just jump on it. And that was something very powerful to jump on. So he said that you can pray without ceasing inside you, and your spirit is praying in tongues, even when outwardly you're doing other things. Like you're talking, you're doing, you know, ABC. So I said, let me try it out. Now that's the beauty of being young. That's why the Bible says, serve the Lord in the days of your youth. Because when sometimes knowledge comes to you when you're a bit older and you start trying to analyze it. Now at that time, somehow you just take it in. So now these two books, I said, now I'm going to practice doing this. So of course I had no car to drive, and the Spirit of God is seated in the passenger seat. So I just made him walk with me. And would walk some distances. Man, I must have tired him out. Because would walk distances. And it was never a problem. You know, I don't know why walking these days people have a problem. I mean, young people. Forget about people my age. I'm talking about young people. Because that time, all you needed were sneakers. Of course, after a few months, they would be smearing, but that's okay. And some jeans and a t-shirt, and you're good to go. You're here, they tell you somebody's in Tinder, you say, I'm coming. So you walk. So now, there used to be, you know, the late Apostle Walla Yakubo. They used to have conferences there at Prayer Palace in Chibuye all the time. And I used to say, the other side of town. But that wasn't a problem. Actually, the only problem would be if I'm hungry. And that would be almost all the time. But if I'd eaten some chapatis and some, I was good to go. Like, I would just walk across, go there, spend the whole day. And man, there's nothing as good as chapati, by the way. God bless the person who brought chapati. Man. You eat once and you're sorted for the day. You get two thick ones like this, roll them. Roll them like this. They didn't even have to have eggs. Just the ngano. And dismiss them. And then take some tea and roll. And then walk. And make the Holy Spirit walk with you. So you're walking, but actually you're walking with Him. And you're speaking to Him, and you're so happy, and like He's, you really start seeing, and in your mind you're really seeing like somebody walking right next to you. At the beginning you look foolish, you understand? But after some time you start actually having this consciousness that He's walking next to me. Now that thing really messed me up, by the way. Because I would wake up, and then I start... Then He tells me, now start walking here. Now, before that, I didn't. But you know now when you're conscious that He's there. And now the thing is, of course, He's there. He has always been there. But now you just bring Him there in your mind through deliberate, you know, conscious thinking that He's right there. So then I would be walking. I remember I used to stay somewhere in Ntinda. So I would walk from Ntinda like this. Then I would... There are some places I used to pass through, a church I used to go to. Then I would meet somebody somewhere. Then somehow take that route. Then you take that route. Then you find somebody talking to himself. Then the Lord tells you, preach to him the gospel. You know he's ready to get saved. Then you call him and say, "Sibitiano sebulunjo, what?" And say, "But do you know Jesus? What? Which he, you know, he died for you. What?" Then the guy gets born again, and actually would get filled in the Holy Spirit. Then you leave him. Then proceed. And by the time you reach where you're going, you've done quite a number of things. And there's a certain happiness that would be in you that would just be, you know, you're just happy whether you're hungry or what. Now, the trouble is, of course, we had issues with our theology. So when you'd do something, let's say, I had issues sometimes with blowing my head. So somebody annoys you, and then you unleash... some serious rant. You unleash a weekly rant. Now, when you're through, now you're convinced the Spirit of God has departed. And yet He's right there. Now, actually, that's what messed me up. Because I didn't understand. I thought that somehow, then, you know, like, you've been with this consciousness until somebody annoys you. Then you say, "Now, Holy Spirit, you just leave me, let me sort this guy." Then you sort the person. And sometimes it wouldn't get physical. And I avoided physical because there are not too many people whom I thought I could handle. But when it comes to verbal artillery, that one anyone I can handle. So you're convinced he has gone. And Bambi, you go and now what? Then just go and, you know, now the funny thing is, I think the Lord does these things just too. Because at the time when you're absolutely convinced, and you know there is that scripture, "Do not grieve the Spirit of God." Then of course you add, of course, the theology of the Old Testament, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me, cast me not away from your presence." And then of course they would be singing those songs in church, in a very emotional way, "Cast me not away from your presence." You know? So now you're convinced the guy has gone. So now you have to go and do what? And beg him to please come back. I still need you. But then now when you're convinced he has gone, then you say, "Okay, now let me just walk alone." Then you're walking alone, then he tells you something very profound. At that time, when you think you are the least deserving, now for him he tells you something very, very powerful. Then you're like, "Wow, he's still here. But I'm not yet worthy to speak to him." Okay, for him he can speak to me because he's holy. But needed me first to go and get holy. Then I can speak to him. Praise the Lord. Of course, we had issues with the theology. But the thing is this. The beauty of it was that I used to be in places and I would go to churches because of that. I would go to churches where people have this old baroque theology of, you know, you go and pray. But there is absolutely no time where you really expect God to speak unless he's telling you something. And even when people come and tell you that God told me to do this, they will tell you A, B, C, and you know that is not God. And Bambi, because they have been in places where they are not taught well. Like somebody came and told me that God told him to go and spend the whole year sleeping in the church. I thought like he couldn't find a better place to sleep, but like he had to pay the price. And I knew that wasn't what? That wasn't good. Eh? Why should people sleep on mattresses and for you are sleeping in church? Eh? So, but the thing is, that's how we were taught. Now, when I moved away, and now actually, because of reading, now the difference, I think, the one thing that helped me is I would read. So I had knowledge which you not get from the ordinary pulpit at the time. So people are talking, but somehow you've read all this Kenneth Hagin, you've read what? First of all, Kenneth Hagin, that when I knew him, I would eat him for breakfast, lunch, and supper. Now people are talking, and somehow you have more knowledge than them. But then also now this thing, so somehow you look at them, and you see how distant they have made themselves from the Lord, yet he's actually right there with them. Now, I remember the night prayer I used to go to. That's when I first felt a total disconnection with them. Because you see, they are praying in a certain way, and you know better than that. And sometimes you don't want to show them that you know better, because it might not be polite. Praise the Lord. And you want to be polite. But you look and you see the things they are saying, and the scriptures they are bringing, and everything. And even if my theology was like still a bit messed up, there were a lot more messed up theology out there, really messed up. That's when I understood that those things of people casting, blowing demons, sending them to some empty sand somewhere, they are spoiling our beaches by sending their demons. We would prefer to go there when we're So when I'm there in the beach, I don't want to find what? But some Morocco are sending devils to the what? Anyhow, but you know what I'm saying. Eh? So you sit there and say, but really? Then you see the distance and distance and distance and how bad teaching can really disconnect people from God. Praise the Lord. But then, of course, because of the wrong theology concerning, we didn't know about the grace of God. So you knew every time you made a mistake, you have to start again. The guy is pissed. So you have to start what? You have to start all over again. Now that's why when we first started understanding the message of grace, while other people were saying all sorts of things, it was such a relief to know that they can actually make a mistake and the Spirit of God is right there. He's not going anywhere. He's right there, and even right after blasting somebody to pieces, I can turn and tell him, Lord, I love you so much. And he says, I love you too. But go and apologize to that guy. Anyhow, praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2. And now the whole idea of a house, start from verse 4. It says, coming to him as a living stone. Now, why does it call Jesus a stone? Okay, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. Now, where there is a house that God is building, first of all, in you as an individual, but secondly, in the church. And you as an individual, and even corporately, and even ministries, is you are like a living stone as part of that building which God is constructing for something perfect. And why does he construct it? To be a dwelling place for him here on earth. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, the construction is individually. The Spirit of God starts constructing you the minute you're born again. But then also, generally, the church constructing into one big dwelling place for God. It says, built up a spiritual house a holy priesthood. Now, of course, you have to understand what priests do. Okay? The work of a priest is to be a mediator between God and man. Amen? In other words, a conduit between heaven and earth. That's what a priest does. A priest is, the connector between the realm of God and the realm of man. And it says God builds us into a house and we are a holy priesthood, which means we are supposed to be that people who show the earth what God actually is like. So we are the connector between God and now. It means we call down the presence of God on earth. It could be in our families. Now, of course, everybody who is born again and the family, the first priesthood that everybody has is the priesthood of the family. I know my son is always dreaming. I dreamt when something happened to my sister. I prayed for her. Something happened to this. I prayed for. Something happened to her. So his sisters, cousins and what. So he's already doing the priesthood of the family, where God shows you, and now you're supposed to stand in for them. But of course, that's just a starting place. But then some people, you're not yet even a priest for a family. So things happen to your family members and your angers. Something happens within your family and you say, how could that? And you don't even ask yourself, how can that happen around me? Now, those are the things which, there was a place I used to stay somewhere in Muyenga not too long ago. Now, there was somebody in the neighborhood. They were Eritreans. So the woman was pregnant. She went to give birth and she died with her baby. I was so distraught. I said, how can a neighbor of mine die giving birth? Like, it really messed me up. I wish you knew. We're not related and what, but how, like, when I would pass there and there are all these Eritreans mourning, I said, now this is my fault. How can somebody die when I am around here? How is it even possible? And it really bothered me. And I said, now, I think I've failed a bit in my priesthood role. There's nobody, when they come near me, you're supposed to be safe because I'm around. Isn't it? And so now, how can they, and she was a good woman and what. So every time I would pass there and I see the husband seated there. And now, the worst thing is she had a two-year-old girl. So the girl was totally confused. Imagine a two-year-old, your mother died. Okay, she was in confusion. At first, they brought all these Eritrean kids. She was playing, but I think after where they went, she realized, where is my mother? So now you look around the whole place, and you're like, man, I'm supposed to be a priest. And regardless of what, no, I should not allow any such thing to happen anywhere close to me. Praise the Lord. So now I know. I can tell something around that is not anywhere within, where, as long as I'm staying there, you can tell there's something here that is going to go wrong, even outside of family, now just within locality. So you start just praying and taking anyhow to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Now, spiritual house, being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a dwelling place for God here on earth. Now, the reason that angers me is, when I dwell there, that God is dwelling there because I am there, you understand? And there is a house there. Now, he's dwelling, he has built me up a spiritual sacrifice where I am supposed to go and be there, and because the Lord is there, the presence of God is there. And where the presence of God is, there is, peace, there is liberty, there is what? So I don't expect anybody to, By that it be said, even thieves that they came and, robbed some, that nothing. Okay? Because of course, me, they can't rob me because I suffer no loss. By the way, I wish you knew how serious I am that I do not accept any loss whatsoever. So even when somebody calls me and tells me, and it's somebody like one of us, tells me, this happened to me, I did what? Man, it really bothers me. And I say, how could that happen? But let me tell you this, for the most part, if you're under me and you suffer loss, it's because you don't tithe. Otherwise, if you did, you cannot. You cannot even lose 50K. You can't. You give it away, you don't lose it. Amen? The other day, I thought I had lost 50K. I said, how can I lose money? Now, the point is not that I can't give it away, but I cannot lose it. So I said, so I walked around. I was somewhere and I walked around. I said, wait, how could I? Because I know I'd moved it away from somewhere and put it somewhere because I was going to the gym. And I was going to use it to pay for the gym. Now I reached the gym and got lazy. So I decided not to gym. But then somehow I couldn't see the 50K. So I said, where is it? So now what bothered me is I know if I accept it's just 50K, next time it will be 1 million. The next time, you understand? So I don't accept even 10K, even 1K. I don't lose anything. You understand? Remember what I told you about that? So I said, now where is this 50K? So it really bothered me until when I reached home and I was changing, I found the 50K in my trouser. And then actually, I checked the trouser, I even removed what? Somehow it was there. Because now the thing is, I could say, it's just 50K. No, it is not just 50K. I would rather get it and give it to somebody. But I cannot lose it. I don't accept loss whatsoever. Because the devil is a thief. You understand? He has his crowd there to steal from. How can he steal from me? So it's not somebody who has stolen your money. It's the devil. There is only one thief. He just uses. They are just conduits. They are just people he uses. Now even things like, you remember, I told you that one time when I reached home and they had stolen the, my side mirrors. Man, I was so bothered. So because I needed, I just called and said, I called somebody and told him that, take this car and put for me new side mirrors. But I was really bothered. How can they steal my side mirrors? Me, the watchman, steal my side. The devil, how can I let the devil inside my territory? You understand? Don't say that Baba Bibe Kampala. No, that's the devil. He just uses those people. So don't accept any defeat or rather any loss. You understand? Hey, so because if I go and give somebody, it's not me, it's God. Okay, he's just using me as a conduit. Eventually, I found out why that happened to me by the my side mirrors. I found out and yeah. It is somebody who was in rebellion whom I gave money. And I wasn't supposed to. And the guy came and told me, they are chasing me from the house, what? And I felt, but I know he's a fake guy. But somehow I felt, after it's little money, what? Now the funny thing is, the minute I gave it to him, that very day, almost 30 minutes later, they stole my side mirrors. And I'd been driving that car without side mirrors and without even those what? Anyhow. So now the guy came back and said, I'd promised him more money. So he came back and said, now the rest of the money, I said, you're joking. I am not going to. You are bringing the devil into my what? Into my space. Me, I don't accept. Nowhere. There's no space for the devil in this, Because I'm supposed to be bringing the presence of God down. Now what is the devil doing? I am a priest. Amen? Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, start from verse 20. It says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, let's look at this. Okay, let's start from the previous verse. Now, you therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now, the household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. We saw that, the stone. Now it says, in whom the whole building being fitted together. Now the key thing here I want you to see is building. Building, the whole building being built together. Okay? Being fitted together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now a holy temple or a holy dwelling place in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, a holy temple, a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. Now, here is the thing. The difference between the reality of this in your life and it just being some scripture is actually the practice of the presence of God. That thing I was telling you, being constantly conscious that God is with me. Now that we know that you cannot even do something which you would call of a sinful nature, and he goes away. So why would you want him away? Praise the Lord. He's not going to go away anyway unless you reject Jesus Christ. So why not practice the presence of God and know God is with me? And in every place you go, you have that thing in your mind and you know it. And at the beginning, you have to constantly remind yourself that this is who I am, and I'm a priest. The presence of God is right here with me, moving with me. So I expect every place I go, I bring the presence of God with me, and that place is flooded with the presence of God because I am there. Now, of course, the more you know it, and the more you commune with him, actually the stronger that presence becomes. And it can become really, really strong in a way where, you know, there have been people who are... I remember the thing of that Catherine Kuhlman. A loner. You know, people who stay alone. You hardly ever find them around anybody. Her only companion was the Holy Spirit. So she would be in a hotel, and she's come to do a crusade, and she's in a hotel, and she's there. Like, then she comes out of the hotel in her long white dresses. Then she passes the hotel lobby, and all the music goes off, and everybody freezes. Sometimes they would fall. And she's just passing, going to her car. And the music stops and freezes because, you know, Catherine Kuhlman has passed. Now, of course, that is, the thing is, the practice of the presence of God. Now, the extent to which you actually make this reality in your life, it grows and grows and grows and grows. And actually, now when you start having issues with, you haven't heard from God in a while, then you know you've actually detached yourself and you're not practicing that thing. Or when the big dreams that you have begin looking distant, when you have that presence around you, there is nothing that you can, like, you know for sure what God has told you. You know the plan of God, and you know, there's something you know, you understand. So now when I stand and speak something, okay? Now, yesterday I was some university there, and I was telling Banyoro students that you people are used to being second. Now me, although I'm a Banyoro, I'm going to the top. I don't settle for middle. Top. Then they look at you like this. But you see, when you have the presence, you know what you're talking about. Like, you, people can doubt you, but when you have spent enough time there, you know that you can't. You never doubt yourself. That's the place where all dreams are built, surely. And there is no doubt in your mind. You know for sure that this is going to happen. There is no... Now, when you start doubting things which you were once sure of, you know that you've moved away. And how do you alienate yourself? In your mind, in your thinking, in your consciousness. You stop being conscious of the fact that, you know, you actually are supposed to be a carrier of the presence of God. Now, when you realize that, you arrest it very fast. And then start consciously saying, telling yourself, no, I am here. The presence of God is in this place because I am here. Now, there might not be any sign yet, but you just continue and tell yourself, the presence of God is here because I am here. I am here and he's with me. And you practice. Now, the only thing that disconnected us is we didn't know about the grace of God. But now you know, and we know. So what can actually stop you from continually knowing that the house of God, the dwelling place of God is in me, and I am being built up as a living stone, okay? A living stone being built up in the house, the dwelling place of God here on earth. Now, the next thing, because, you know, previously I used to think, and this was my theology, of course, at the time, which sometimes is revised, is I thought that the rapture was... And I've even taught that, where we are escaping the evil world. The world is so evil, and we are escaping. And man, we can't wait to burst. So even you look around and say, man, Jesus, please come. And that is not how actually God sees it. Because, let me tell you, when I was this December, the Lord was impressing it on me that there is absolutely, there was a time when you could be spiritual without actually, and spiritual in quotes, without actually having true and real experiences with God. There is no way you are going to survive in this era when your Christianity is just talk. You understand? There has to be something tangible. And I realize that before actually we are caught up, it's the Enoch thing, the same thing as Enoch. That's actually, you know, a picture. I told you that I know this for a fact, that every time there is nothing in the New Testament that is not in some form in the Old Testament. The scripture says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a word be confirmed. So there has to be a minimum of how many? Two. So, the picture of Enoch, where we are actually that close, where we are. Now, here's the thing. Between heaven and earth, before the rapture. Amen? Now, if you look at the kingdom of darkness, those people who are pushing their agendas, you think where do they get their agendas from? From reading some book? No. They go to the underworld, to the cities of the devil, and they get the agenda right there. Right there. Those people are talking about spending money fighting coronavirus in Africa, yet it's not yet, it wasn't yet there. But man, those guys are wicked. A guy says he's going to spend how many million fighting a virus in Africa, which is in China. Why doesn't he go to China? But they cannot let a virus come and it somehow it's in China, America, Europe. No, viruses are supposed to be in Africa. Man, those guys are wicked. Now, that by the real wicked. So, now, then the next thing we know is there are planes of Chinese people escaping China, coming to Africa. And they are not going anywhere in particular. They ask them, do you know anybody in Africa? No. But we just have to run away from China. And the only place stupid enough to accept them is where? But of course, for us, we have the Lord. So they will come and now to sit there. And I see a guy entering, a Chinese guy entering a supermarket with a mask. I said, now, if this... just deport the guy, send him back to China. So now they are the ones who are sick. Now he's putting on a mask, walking to ShopRite with his mask. I just wanted to jump on the guy and slap him. But then I was coming to preach, because it was... but I didn't want the Spirit of God to what? Now the sickness is not anyway, but now you know it has, they have brought, but it doesn't matter because they have tried to spread those things here, but the protection of God is upon us. They even predict there's going to be over how many, what does the time CNN was saying, there's going to be a very strange strain of Ebola which even dissolves the bodies of the dead bodies after, man, the thing eats you up, even when you die it continues eating you. But it did not come. And by the way, it is not by, it's by the protection of God. And now you will continue frustrating them. Amen? We are seeing in this time, angels taking off the wheels of Pharaoh's chariots. When Israel is, if Israel is going slow, he says, hurry up. But as he's telling them to hurry up, he's slowing down Pharaoh. Because, anyway, how do I even go there? We are talking about a building, a dwelling place of God in the spirit. I wonder how I ended up there. Okay, but since I digress, let me digress also properly. Today, actually I think yesterday, Israel media is reporting that the Prime Minister Netanyahu is coming to Uganda on Monday. That is Monday, 3 days from now. And then they also said Uganda is set to become the third country to put its embassy in Jerusalem. That is according to the Israeli media. But that is supposed to come here, you know, on Monday. And it's actually being, they reported about how there was a march for Israel in Kampala, which was there. You heard about it? There was a march for Israel organized by Christians here. And now that, there was a dream I had, which, remember when I told you a dream, which something with Israel and what? Anyhow, so if that was true, I wonder what got to this guy. Because the other time when he had the chance in 2017, he started calling Israel Palestine. I think some demon just sat on his head. But after only America and Guatemala, Uganda would be the third. Paraguay had said they would move their embassy to Jerusalem, but they backtracked. So we'll be on the third nation. And remember I told you earlier, what is behind that? The prosperity comes as a result of it. But I know what game these people have. But somehow, I know what game he's playing. There's something he wants from the Jews. But anyhow, if we'd have our embassy in, and especially if they would come and establish their embassy here, then you would see what would happen. Because Israel is still Israel of God. Eh? Amen? Yeah. So something serious would happen. Very serious. Today also, January 31st, is Brexit. Eh? Yeah. And I was asking the Lord, what is Britain going to be like after it leaves the European Union? And I think the answer is good. I remember in 2016, when after the elections, I asked the Lord, what is America going to be like under Trump? He told me very clearly, I was outside my house walking and praying, and he told me that they are going to fight him. But, he said, money. He said he will beat them by one thing, money. He said there will be money that even his enemies will find it very difficult, what? To fight him. Now when you see all this money, and everything they try to do is money. Now, seeing the other day, they are reporting that there's going to be a recession. Then, I knew that was wishful thinking. It's going to be another thing that they report. It's not going to happen. Because the Lord says he's going to just distinguish. As much as they fight him, the one thing he will use is the prosperity of the nation, where everybody just does what? Has to bow down. Because, you know, people want what? And God wants people to have it. Praise the Lord. Then also, so I was asking him now, he said, Britain, there would be a bit of a shaking, but ultimately, they will come out very, very strong, and the economy. Now, of course, all the prognosticators are saying, he also told me this, by the way, many European companies, which they were fearing, will run away from London and go. Because, you know, here is the thing. They cannot... So, London is the financial capital of Europe, for the most part. Now, when you station in London and you register your company in London or in the UK, when they were under the European Union, you sell to the whole of Europe without any tariffs, because they are part of the European Union. So what they were fearing is now, if they leave the European Union, all companies that are registered of the stock exchange in London then have to pay tariffs to sell their goods anywhere in Europe, because they are no longer now part of the European Union. You understand? Now that's the logic. But then the Lord was telling me that actually many more companies are going to come and prefer to be in London. I don't know why. It does not make any logical sense, but for some reason that's how he told me it is going to be. And therefore, the fears of all the economic anticipators, you know, this is going to what, how are we going to do this, what, are all going to dissipate when they see that actually the UK is prospering. But not immediately. He says there will be a bit of a small shake at the beginning. So then I was asking him, what is this meaning of this Uganda and what? Then I didn't get an answer yet. But I'll get it. Because it's on Monday, that's when he's supposed to come here. He has come from Russia, he was in America. You know, he was in America where Donald Trump unveiled his peace plan, which he calls the deal of the what? Deal of what? We told you, but that guy is the master of hype. But the guy can hype himself. Everything, most historic what? Deal of the century. Now, then from there he went to Russia. Now his next stop is Uganda. Now the interesting thing is that previously he was on an Africa tour. So he came here, went to Nairobi, went to Rwanda. But now he's coming specifically to Uganda. They asked if it is true he's coming, because I'm just basing on what I read in the Jerusalem Post. Actually, not just it. Even so many of the newspapers in Israel were reporting that. Praise the Lord. So that's the end of the digression. Now we are back to the presence of God. Back to the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So when you start having being distant from your dream, from the voice of God, from what it's because you actually have just relaxed in practicing. Eh? No, because the presence of God is there, but it is something you have to practice all the time. You've relaxed in practicing the presence of God and having the sense that He's there all the time and now knowing it for a fact. Eh? Okay, you know it for a fact, but the point is making it a part of your daily practice. Eh? To wake up knowing that, you know, the presence of God is with me. I'm going here, I'm the presence. And it's the same way you also practice all these other things that you're trying to practice. Like, let's say, practicing dominion. You go to a place and you say, I expect these people here to treat me in a certain way because I am so and so. Eh? So I expect all these guys to. And it's something you practice, then it grows and grows and grows until it comes to what? Eh, amen. So, praise the Lord. Now, what we don't want for anybody of us here is for prayer to be those religious things. Eh? Because we went through that long time ago. And it was not rewarding. We want it to be where you know you're talking to somebody who is right there. You know that time when I was practicing it, I would actually sit outside and get another chair. Now, if somebody sees you, he thinks you're real what? Crazy. Eh? But it helped my mind to know that he's there. So now when I'm talking to him, I'm talking to him when he's there. So I sit here, and what? Sometimes you even ask him, Holy Spirit, can I get you a cappuccino also? Then he says, no, I'll be fine. What if he says yes? You ask like those. I'm to hear yet they don't want to give you what? They are hoping you say no. Eh? Now if you're foolish, you say, hey, okay, I've come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for each and every person who connects here this day. Father, I thank you for a special, special blessing, for a special reward, for a supernatural multiplication and opening for everything, Father, a divine opening in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, because everybody sees an increase in every area of their lives. I thank you, Father, because we walk in the truth of your presence in the name of Jesus, and we know for a fact that we walk as blessed, we walk as protected, we walk as singled out for your purpose. In the name of Jesus, and we shall be blessed and blessed. And I thank you, Father, for a multiplication. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-5555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.